Hello and welcome to the Odds Checker Betting Show. It is, in my opinion, one of the greatest weeks of sport. Not only do we have the Masters starting tomorrow, but of course the Grand National Meeting at Aintree gets underway on Thursday, and we are here to preview that. I'm your host, George Ellick, and I'm delighted to be joined by Andy Holding. Andy, I think it's tradition that in our Aintree previews, I start by asking you, who wins the Masters?
Yeah, I think this year's event is obviously dominated by Scotty Scheffler, who, you know, I think he's had about a 4-1 shot now. He could easily run away with it, couldn't he? I think we're all under that, no illusions there. But obviously with a lot of firms betting 10 places, et cetera, et cetera, I thought two guys that play the track well and coming in good for Xander Schauffele and Matsuyama, either one of those two, ran about sort of 14, 16 and won the pair. Hopefully one of those two will give me a decent spin. What about yourself?
Yeah, don't hate the chance of either of those two. I'm going to blow my trumpet now, and I've been backing Siwoo Kim about 150, 140 to one for the last couple of weeks, and he's now, I think, 50 to one, 66 to one, so that would be a good result. Cameron Young as well, I think, is a huge price. He's bigger than he was last year, and since then, he finished seventh last year. He's, I think, come in the top 10 in four of the last seven majors, so he's another one that I'm looking at. I think it's quite fun having Scheffler at the top of the market because suddenly everyone else is bit bigger kind of elsewhere. So anyway, we'll see. But we're not here to talk about golf, although we could for a while. We are here to talk about Aintree. And we're recording this just after 1 o'clock on Wednesday. So racing gets underway in just over 24 hours. We're going to rattle through the Thursday card here today before we reconvene tomorrow. And myself, Andy and Ed Quigley will be going through the card on Friday. And of course, on Grand National Day on Saturday as well. So do keep your eyes peeled for those episodes as well. But we didn't want to leave Thursday uncovered. And that's why Andy's joined me for a quick tour through the cards. I'm going to be going through the odds checker grids. This is where you'll find the best prices, the best bookie offers, free bets, place terms, and Andy's tips straight to the app every single morning of racing. Going to kick off in the 1:45, Andy. The Novice Chase, just over 2.5 miles, and Grey Dawning is the even money favourite ahead of Ginny's Destiny at 7-2. Il Était Temps is 4-1. Blow Your Wad 10-1. Colonel Harry is 33-1. And this is Grey Dawning and Ginny's Destiny going head to head yet again after their battle at Cheltenham. I mean, hard to make a case, is it, for these two to reverse the form? But the prices, where do you see the value?
First thing to say before we kick off, George, is the ground is going to be pretty testing there at Aintree. I know they're calling it soft, heavy in places on the Marmay and probably the other way around on the national course. But a good friend of mine lives virtually with Aintree over his back fence. And he said it started raining around about 7:30 this morning and it still hasn't stopped. And that was at 1:45. So whatever they've got some more on top of it, probably more than what they were hoping for. And as we know, that Marmay track does take some getting, particularly the hurdle course, as we saw over the Christmas period, that they were finishing on their hands and knees. So it's going to be survival of the fittest. So not necessarily all races will, and the form will hold up just because it's more arduous and a different type of horse might win it. Or if horses have had really hard races at Cheltenham, and then they're asked to do it again, sort of 2, 3, 4 weeks on, they might not have the constitution to do. But as it stands, I mean, Grey Dawning is the best horse in this division. He's actually proven over further, so that's going to come in handy. You'd imagine that whatever happens here, he'd outstay Ginny's Destiny, barring accidents, as he did at Cheltenham. He probably would have beaten Ginny's Destiny as well at Cheltenham at the previous meeting when he made that bad mistake at the second last. Effectively, he's 2-2 over Ginny's Destiny. So the only sort of fly in the ointment is Il Était Temps, who looked for all the world as though he was outpaced in the Arkle before staying on belatedly to finish third. I think he was sort of 7th or 8th coming down the hill and flat to the boards. Just couldn't go at the speed of the likes of Gaelic Warrior, etc. But he did keep on well. And over 2.3 miles at Limerick over the Christmas period, he also ran a big number that day behind the aforementioned Gaelic Warrior. The two races I've just mentioned there, the Arkle and the Turners, were almost identical on the numbers, and they were the second and third fastest times respectively behind the Gold Cup that we got all week. So it's a bit of a flip of the coin really, which way you go with this race. There's an argument to say that Ilete Tonk could be a little bit of value without Ginny's Destiny, on the basis that the step up in trip and the Arkle form is just as good. Or the other horse to mention as well at a big price, and this is the bet I'm probably going to be looking at just from a value stance, is Colonel Harry, who finished sixth in the Turners. But it was Cheltenham's very much a track, particularly on the new course, that lends itself to front runners. And he was last going out onto the final circuit. Horses like Iroko and Fasar Vega, they were all languishing out the back as well. Never got in it. Virtually, they were the first three home were 1-2-3 throughout. So I tend to upgrade horses that run well from the back of the field. And Colonel Harry, actually, his individual circuit time was not a million miles off the likes of Great Dawning and Ginny's Destiny in isolation. So with only five runners, they're going to be racing more in a huddle, more in a pack. Colonel Harry will only be sort of three or four lengths behind this time rather than sort of 10, 15 lengths behind. And we know that he loves heavy ground. All his best form this season, and as a novice hurdler, we're on heavy ground. The yards now come back into form. They went a little bit quiet during the Cheltenham week. He's 33-1 in the win-only market, but he's 11-1 without Grey Dawning. I think he'll definitely beat Blow Your Wad. I can't understand why he's three times the price of Blow Your Wad, because Blow Your Wad's only running handicaps and Colonel Harry's running loads of grade ones. So, yeah, I think, look, I just think he's a smidgen of value. I'm not saying he's definitely going to come off this bet, but it's probably got more chance of coming off than the odds imply, put it that way.
That's all we can ask for, Andy. We're here for value. And value 12-1 Colonel Harry in the without Grey Dawning market absolutely is. That is with William Hill, 11-1 with Skybet as well. Just a couple of firms out with that. I'm guessing more firms will come out with that market over the next kind of 12 hours or so. So keep your eyes peeled. But 12-1 is the best price there as it stands, the outsider of the five, but in the without the favourite market. On to the juvenile hurdle now, over an extended 2 miles, and Sagino, having missed the Cheltenham Festival, having bludgeoned a lot of people's antipost position in the triumph after Nicky's horses, obviously we're not in a great place, then is the 5-6 favourite ahead of Card Jess at 7-2, who was runner-up in the triumph. And then we've got Khalif to Burley at 6-1, Nürburgring at 10-1, Interloto at 16-1, and Dirty Den at 150-1. So a few angles here with regards to the triumph. Nürburgring was a horse you were very keen on ahead of the festival and ran with credit. How do you see this market now?
Yeah, I'll get onto Nürburgring in a second or two. But let's just deal with the favourite, the facts that we've got in front of us. He was roughly this kind of price going into the Cheltenham Festival. Then obviously he, along with many other stable stars, were withdrawn because of all those issues that Nicky Henderson had in the build-up and indeed the week of the Cheltenham Festival itself. And now we're being asked to take the same price, not knowing if there's a massive upsurge in the yard's fortunes. They've had one runner since that's won, Easy Peasy, but they've been very quiet. I think he's only had four runs in the last fortnight. So this is a bit of a suck it and see exercise really. Added to the fact that it's going to be heavy on the hurdles course. I know he's won Auteuil on softest ground, but it's always soft or heavy in the going description Auteuil, even though sometimes, let's say in the spring period, it dries out to perhaps be a lot quicker than what the official going description tells you. So I think that's a little bit of a red herring. This is going to be a right slog. And if he's got like even a 5% or 10% issue with his sort of like his internal organs or whatever, you know, his lungs or whatever that problem was that Nicky Henderson had, this will find him out. Ultimately, I just couldn't go anywhere near him at the price. He might well win and prove us all wrong, but it's all about the prices and what you're prepared to back and the risks involved. And I think he comes with a big wealth warning over him. The best form is definitely the Triumph. It always has been. And this is one of the races, actually, that stands the test of time. Some of the races, like the Fox Hunters, another race who I'll talk about, they tend to come with horses who come here fresh. But the Triumph Hurdles, the biggest trial, the best trial for this race. They seem to be able to take that race and come here and move on, no problem. Carguess was an honourable second to Margebrew. It was a strongly run race. It was
the winner for a while.
He did, yeah. I mean, she did. I mean, she travelled great. I thought I was going to win going out the last. I put the two up at Carguess and Nürburgring up. They got contrasting rides, and Carguess just faltered at the last. She made a bit of a mistake. Didn't get up the hill. And ultimately, she was just out to stay. But the time was good, much better than the County Hurdle, the older horses, won by Absurd. So I think it was a good triumph this year. So we know that she stays a strongly run 2 miles well. I think the flatter track will suit. I think she'll still be going as well as anything down to the last. It's just whether she gets home on that long run in on testing ground. I think she's value at 7-2. And I do think Nürburgring has got to be factored into the equation. I think, arguably, Nürburgring got one of the worst rides of the whole Cheltenham Festival. JJ Slevin, I'm not sure what instructions he had going out there, but he either took it on himself to drop the horse right out the back door. And I mean, probably about 15, 20 lengths off the speed, which just didn't make sense on a horse that raced prominently at Leopardstown the time before, raced prominently when winning at Fairy House the time before that. And I just don't know what he was thinking. At no stage did that horse have any chance of going with the main players. It was to his great credit that he managed to salvage something from the wreckage and finish fourth, a creditable one at that. So with only 6 runners this time, and I'm sure he's going to get a much more positive ride, I would say Nürburgring is, again, a horse certainly to consider at his current odds. I think he's a better than a 10-1 shot. So I'm going to play the two against the field. I'm going to stick the Triumph Hurdle form. Hope Sugino doesn't quite live up to expectations. And yeah, 7-2 and 10-1 respectively, they'll do for me.
Lovely stuff. Yeah, 7-2 Carjess is with Bet365, Bet Victor Coral, and a couple of others. Nürburgring 10-1, that's with 365 Hills, Bet Victor, and Ladbrokes. On to the 255, the third race on the card, the Bowl, now the William Hill Bowl Chase, where Jerry Colomb, off a valiant effort at Cheltenham, is a 7-4 favourite. Shishkin, who of course missed Cheltenham for previous reasons discussed, 3-1. Corbett's Cross, Cheltenham winner, 4-1. Brave Man's Game, 10-1. Ahoy Senor, 12-1. Gentleman's Game, 25-1. 35-1 Thunder Rock. 7 run here, Andy.
Yeah, Shishkin, obviously he's the champion from last season. He was brilliant that day. That was Shishkin at his absolute maximum capacity. This track obviously suits him. And if it wasn't for the Gold Cup, we would have seen whether he could have beaten the likes of Jerry Colong and Galopin Deschamps 4 weeks ago. But he's going to get a chance to make amends here. But, you know, he does face a horse, an opponent in the shape of Jerry Colomb, that not only ran his face off in the Gold Cup, but also won in very stylish fashion here last year when he won the Marmaid Novices. So you've got two course and distance winners from last season, head-to-head, front end of the market. Me personally, I think Jerry Colomb might just hold sway. I mean, he's had a fairly light campaign. I know he had a fairly hard race in the Gold Cup, but at least he finishes race off strongly. I watched a video back again this morning, and unlike the likes of Carrick Rambler and Lompress, who are literally crawling up the hill, he actually went up, you know, and chased Galopin Deschamps really strongly all the way to the line. So arguably fitness, you know, could be actually in his favour rather than against him. Whereas Shishkin hasn't had a run for 61 days, which might have a little bit of a detrimental effect. The real sort of unknown quantity at this level is Corbett's Cross. I actually think coming here is an easier option than taking on the novices. He could have run in the 2.5, he could have run in the 3 miles, but he'd be up against Grey Dawning and Ginny's Destiny. He'd be up against a whole bunch of quality horses in the 3 mile novice race as well. But if you take away Joe Colomb and Shishkin, I don't think you're left with a lot here. Ahoy Senor is just not the same horse he has been last season or the year before. Brave Man's Game didn't stay in the Gold Cup. He didn't handle the ground. He's not going to handle the ground or stay here. Gentleman's Game was pulled up in the Gold Cup. I couldn't have him on my mind. And Thunder Rock, I don't think, is good enough. So, like I say, I think this is a good, wise move by Emma Mullins and JP coming here. He was one of the most stylish winners at the Cheltenham Festival. He almost didn't come out of second, third gear. So he didn't have a hard race. 3 miles on heavy ground, he's absolutely bang on for him. I actually think he's probably the biggest danger to Jerry Colong than Shishkin. So, again, I'll probably fiddle around with either Corbett's Cross in the outright market, around about 7-2, 4-1, or maybe just take slightly shorter odds and get him perhaps to finish second to Jerry Colomb, one way or the other. I think that's the way I go. My angle of approach there in the bowl.
Yeah, Corbett's Cross is 4-1 with BetMGM and BetUK, 7-2 basically across the board. So keep an eye out on there. There is a without Jerry Colomb market as well, where Corbett's Cross is 2-1 with BetVictor, kind of 15 to 8. So one of those two, the way to play it, according to Andy. On to the entry hurdle now. Over 2.5 miles, Bob Olinger is the 6-4 favourite ahead of Impere Pass at 15-8. Langadan 9-1, Lashier 12-1, and Nemean Lion 14-1, Maurice Rock 16-1, 70-1 Beacon's Edge, and 100-1 Mines Glory. We had Johnny Ward on Racing Weekly earlier in the week saying that Impere Pass was his bet of the week, and saying that he wasn't sure if Bob Olinger would go off Fav. Thoughts on Johnny's thoughts there, Andy?
I think a lot depends, doesn't it, George, what Impere Pass turns up. I don't think he's the horse that we all thought and Connection thought would turn out to be so far this season. I think that's a fair assessment of him. I mean, look, he's run well. I mean, he's been up against State Man and some top-class two-milers all season. I mean, obviously trying to make him a champion hurdle horse. That didn't quite materialise. So I think it's not a bad option or point of the season to again try him out over 2.5 again. When he stayed it well enough in the Hans Grace early on in the season. He just looked a little bit reluctant last time. His jumping was a bit poor. He just didn't look himself for one reason or another. So it's off the back of that run that you trust Willie Mullins to get him back mentally more than anything else to the horse that we saw last year when he was winning the Ballymore. So I can see Johnny's argument. And if he's on his A game, the numbers that we've got, he's unbeatable in this race. He's got 3 times way superior than Bob Olinger, but they were at his absolute peak.
Mm.
It's just whether he is at his absolute peak or he's, like I say, he's just not quite with it. And if he's not, then obviously Bob Olinger will take advantage of that. This has been his target pretty much all season. They did tour with the idea of Cheltenham maybe running him in the Champion Hurdle because obviously that race cut up, but they decided to run Irish Point. And then Rob Corr, of course, had Tiapu as their standalone stays hurdle horse. So there was no need for him to try to go up to 3 miles. But as we saw at Navan early on the year in Cheltenham when he beat Maurice Rock on heavy ground, he's still got that silky smooth way of going about his business and sort of like stamping his authority and class on proceedings when, you know, he's in the mood. And he's very much in the mood and in the ascendancy, whereas in Impere Pass, we're just not quite sure. So it's a really difficult conundrum, this one. Do you go with Impere Pass and hope that he comes back to those numbers that he did last season and beyond Tiupu? Or do you go with the less riskier option, let's say, with Bob Olinger? So it's not as if like one's even money and the other one's 3-1 and we say, well, we'll go with the 3-1. I think they're going to be virtually identical as close to the off, sort of 13-8 each or two. So I'd probably go with Bob Olinger, like I say, just because I think he's guaranteed to run his race. That might come back to bite me in the bum, but that's the way I see it.
Just siding with Bob Olinger. 6-4, yeah. Best price as it stands at the moment. That is with William Hill, as I say, Impere Pass 15-8, but 7-4 kind of across the board. Will be interesting to see how that develops. And of course, Langadan, who was the villain's hero. I don't know how we say it really, after Cheltenham Festival triumph, having shown little form over the course of the year, but going back to back at the festival, taking on Bob Olinger and Impere Pass at 9-1.
I'll be stunned if that won, by the way.
Yeah, so
absolutely stunned. I mean, I don't think the ground's going to be anywhere near in his favour. He's only a little horse. You know, it's all right winning a Cold Cup, but taking on 2 genuine Grade 1 horses, that would have almost been the training performance of the season.
It would also bring some performances between the two festivals under even more scrutiny, would you think?
Just a bit, yeah.
On to the Fox Hunters now in the 4:05, and it's On the Line and Spyglass Hill, the 2 9-2 joint favourites. Animex is 5-1, Time Leader is 13-2, Benny's King 17-2, Romeo Magico 10-1, Gaboriot is 11-1, 25-1 bar those. Loads in here, Andy, 22 runners as it stands. Most firms going 5 places, Betway going 7 places. How do you see this?
Yeah, unlike the sort of Fox Hunters at the Cheltenham Festival and the cross-country race to a degree at the Cheltenham Festival, a lot of punters tend to shy away from these kind of events, and I do really. I don't really take them that seriously as betting mediums, but I actually really like this one just because we've got the added spice of the fences, of course. I've got a fairly reasonable record in this race. I'm hoping to nail the winner again. My first starting point is to try and go with horses that have missed the Cheltenham Festival. Year in, year out, horses that run there, either won it or finished in the first four, they're always priced up because they're running the best race. They've got the best form, basically. But it means nothing because they've had such a hard race over 3 mile 2. Asking them to come back in trip to 2.5 miles or 2.5, albeit on heavy ground, is, I wouldn't say virtually impossible, but it's a very, very difficult feat. A lot more difficult than the odds would imply. So I'd basically be against It's on the Line for a starting point. I'd be against Time Leader, obviously finished third in the same race. I then looked at Spyglass Hill, who dogged it out last time out at Haydon, and thought, well, maybe he might be worth a look. I then went and watched his round of jumping when he unseated Ryder in the, I think it was the Grand Sefton about 2 years ago, and he jumped absolutely terribly, and he almost ran out at the bend at the canal turn. He just doesn't get very high, so on heavy ground, I couldn't trust him at 9-2. I mean, if he's 10-1, then maybe. Mm. So once you sort of like get into the nitty gritty of the main three in the market, you think, well, let's take them all on. I've had a few quid here on a Gaborio from the Oliver Green and Josh Guerriero setup. Now, unfortunately, they lost one of their stable stars, if you recall, early on this season, Jess Gill, or Jess Keel, which is a bitter blow for them. They lost him at Cheltenham, which was a real sad occasion. But that horse really went a long way to proving that these two guys know exactly what they're doing when it comes to preparing a horse for the Aintree fences. Now, Gaborio has yet to run here at Aintree, but I'm trusting that they've obviously schooled him perhaps over Aintree-style fences at home. He does jump really well. And more importantly, he stays beyond 2.5, 2.6. He won over 3.1 last time out. He was never any stronger than he was at the finish. He beat a good field that day. There was a bit of depth in that Catterick race. And he's fairly kind of like fresh and young. He's like one of those younger horses at an 8-year-old, which has been the trend nowadays. The younger horses seem to be coming through in the point-to-point hunter chase sphere. That he's got very much got age on his side. So he hasn't got as many battle scars as quite a few of the rest. He's 11-1 currently. I could see him being sort of 7 or 8-1. He's not going to collapse, but he's definitely not going to be double figures come the off. I'd see him running well. And the other one to mention is Benny's King from the Dan Skelton stable. He won on heavy ground last time at Leicester. He's jumped round here before. He's got a prominent race style, which is very much complemented by this track. Most of the winners of this race tend to race prominently or make all the running. So he ticks that box as well. So in short, my two against the field are the sort of two floaters just beyond the front three in the market, Gaborio and Benny's King.
Gaborio is 11-1. Victor Coral, BetMGM and a couple of others. Betway with their seven places are 8-1. And who's the other one?
Benny's King.
And Benny's King, yeah, 17-2 with William Hill, kind of 8-1, 15-2 market price. The penultimate race on the cards tomorrow is the Red Rum Handicap Chase, where Unexpected Party is the 6-1 favourite. Another Cheltenham hero landing that Skelton double. St. Roy, a joint favourite at 6-1. Path de Roux is 13-2. Heltonham, 8-1. Whiskey Wealth, 9-1. Saint Brew is 11-1. On Public, 12-1. With Dancing on My Own, 16-1 bar those, Andy.
Yeah, fascinating race. We've got Cheltenham Festival form, courtesy of the Grand Annual, trying to stand the test of time. And we've got lots of horses coming in from all different angles here with different form lines. We've even got a couple of Irish Raiders, Whiskey Wealth and Irish Blaze, just to add an extra bit of spice, along with the previous winner of this race, of course, Dancing on My Own from the Henry de Bromhead stable. So a tricky one to get your head around. I certainly wouldn't put you off either one of the Skelton horses. Obviously, the drop back in trip paid dividends with Unexpected Party. And Heltonham has been one of the most improved chasers in recent weeks. He won on heavy ground 2 runs ago at Newbury over further, so that's not going to be a problem for him, and he's a good cruiser. So it wouldn't surprise me if either one of those two bolstered Dan Skelton's champion trainer bid. But I'm going to put up one here that I'm probably going to suggest is maybe the best bet on the card for me at the prices, and that is Paul Nicholls' Saint Bruaire. ex-French horse that has had three runs for Paul Nicholls so far. His first two over hurdles didn't amount to a great deal. But last time out back over fences, there was much more like the horse that Connections got hold of. Don't forget, he was a good horse over in France. He ran really well in last year's champion, Irish, French champion hurdle when he finished seventh behind Thelmy. And he had some good horses in and around him that day. But boy, did he go well through that Chepstow race the other day. It was a strongly run event. There was only seven runners, but the time figure that we got suggested it was a proper race. And he just got outstayed on the running by a horse that had won at the track the previous time. He had his pocket picked a little bit. But I think this flatter track will suit him. He gets in there off 10-2. Bryony Foss takes the ride. Mark 130. He's a 150 horse over hurdles. I think he's very, very well handicapped, this Sambriere. He will travel like the wrath of God through this race. The faster they go, the better. And we know that he stays beyond 2 miles, courtesy of all his French form. So I really, really like his chances, Sambriere. I'll be gutted if he's not in the first four.
Sambriere, 10-1, or 11-1 best price with Coral and Labrick's 10-1 pretty much across the board elsewhere there. A strongest bet on the card for Andy. Finally, we have the bumper here where we've got Baby Kate is the 11-4 favourite for the Muddins team. Honky Tonk Highway, 5-1. Jubilee Alpha, this is the Mayor's bumper. Jubilee Alpha, 7-1. Diva Luna, 15-2, 12-1 bar those. Andy Howe, we've got 18 here. How does Baby Kate stack up on the numbers?
Not bad. That Cheltenham bumper that she won was one of the better ones. A big field at Cheltenham, etc. The numbers are always going to be fairly good. Willie's done okay in this race. He won it with Ash Road Diamond a couple of years ago, but he's had a lot of short ones that have failed to hit the target. And I think Baby Kate's a scandalously short price. I don't think she's done a huge amount to suggest, certainly on the form anyway, that she should be under 3-1. You're backing basically Willie Mullins and Paddy Mullins here, more than anything else. I think the key form line to this race is a point to point at a place called, I think it's Tattersall's Hill or something like that over in Ireland, Tattersall's Farm. It's a race that was won by Honky Tonk Highway, and she beat Diva Luna by two lengths. Now, both of these two have gone their separate ways, different ways, with trainers and their seasonal reappearances, rules debuts. Honky Tonk Highway won very tidily at Sandown, showed a lot of grit and determination from sort of the last three furlongs onwards when she looked beat, but the sort of further they went, the better she looked. So a test of stamina around here will really suit her from an informed stable. And Diva Luna was just as good when she won at Market Raising. Now, she won at listed level that day, so she beat some good horses on the at the Lincolnshire track. And she also did it by going all the way around the inside on a day where everything that won had to race off the inside. You were definitely in a better position running towards the standside rail. So I kind of upgraded her run on that occasion. And I know Ben Pawling thinks the world of her as well. So I'm just going to play this race fairly straightforwardly. Back both of those two, Honky Tonk Highway, Diva Luna, first and second in that Tattersall's Farm, point to point in Ireland from last year.
Love that. 5-1 Honky Tonk Highway, that's with most firms. And Diva Luna 15-2, that is with Coral Skybet. Go five places. Most firms are four. Thank you very much, Andy, for taking the time out of your day to go through Thursday's card. As I say, we'll be recording a day two, so Friday and Saturday for the Grand National tomorrow with Ed Quigley as well. So make sure you subscribe to the Odds Checker YouTube channel where you can find those previews uploaded at some point tomorrow afternoon. Make sure you download the Odds Checker app so you can find the best prices, bookie offers, free bets, place terms and Andy's tips straight to the app every single morning of racing. Check out the Odds Checker site for all of your race, your betting needs over the course of the weekend as well. Thank you, Andy. We'll speak again tomorrow.
No problem.
In the meantime, I hope you have a brilliant first day at Aintree and we'll see you in day two and day three previews. Please ensure that you gamble responsibly.